You are listening to Rouge, White, and Blue, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
White and Blue podcast. My name is Joe Pritchard. Our buddy Dr. Rouge is on assignment this week, but joining me this week is our buddy Oz Davis. Oz, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks. You're enjoying that host seat, Joe? You're enjoying that? You're enjoying doing my job?
I kept the seat warm. I don't think I could pull it off quite as well as you can.
Has a coup taken place?
No. I'm a much better second banana. Thank you very much, and I know that.
Well, thank you for the humble brag there. I gotta say, but I apologize to the listeners. I've been on the DL for a couple weeks for the 2 week, 15-day, 30-day disabled list. Sorry. It has been a nightmare. It has been a coincidence of things happening, all in sequence. But the plus side is the odds are against any of these things happening again sometime soon. So let's hope to get through the whole season uninterrupted. Can't guarantee that you'll get all three of us every week, but hopefully you'll get me and Joe every week. I just wanted to lead off the show by saying, Joe, it is June yet.
It is June yet.
It is June yet, yes. And we have opening week games. We'll be talking those opening week games, and we'll be talking with Kevin O'Neill of CFL Fans in Toronto momentarily, or I shouldn't say momentarily, but later on in the show. I'd like to talk some news first, and I'd also like to get out one message about the CFL season in general. Can I go with that, Joe?
Yes, please do.
Okay, let me roll with this. I just want to say, for those who want to move up the season, and I believe you're one of them, Joe. Okay.
No.
Here's what's happening right now. Okay, if the Cleveland Cavaliers and or the Las Vegas Golden Knights had put up any of a fight in their respective championship series, okay? Right now, we could be looking at two game sevens, the World Cup starting up to go along with the opening week of the CFL. And for certain geeks out there, Twitch TV just happens to be running a month-long marathon of Doctor Who, which I am also trying to tune in, okay? I'm triple screening already next week. How can I be quintuple screening? Please don't move up the season. Please don't.
And you didn't
Please
even don't. Mention the most important thing is the Milwaukee Brewers Which are is? In a pennant race right now.
Oh, God. Oh, God. See, my Colorado Rockies dropped a doubleheader at home to the Arizona Diamondbacks by a combined score of 21-11. Okay? This is the point at which Colorado fans have given up this season.
We have plenty of room on the bandwagon. Please feel free to hop on. It's going to be a fun ride.
Oh, my God. Well, y'all have fun with that, but we're not talking baseball, basketball, college softball. We're not talking any of that. We're talking CFL football. So let's talk a little bit about what happened this week. Now, not too much going on this week. We had a transaction, but what I want to talk about first is I believe this went down one or two days ago. Today, as we're recording this, it is Wednesday, the 13th of June. We'll probably release this on Thursday, the 14th. But a couple, 3 days ago, Mike Shea announces that Chris Strever will be starting at quarterback for Winnipeg. This is due to Matt Nichols missing 4 to 6 weeks, and we can discuss the particularities of that in just a moment. But Joe, I have not spoken to you since Mr. Nichols went down due to injury during a practice. How does this color your perceptions of the season? What do you know? Have you done your homework on Mr. Strever? Because I have, if you haven't. And How optimistic are you?
Well, let's save the how optimistic and how I view the season for later, because we do have our predictions coming up. If you were able to catch last week where we had Darren Bombing on for a flash show about the Nichols injury for the most part, because I really wasn't able to think clearly about anything else at that point, I wasn't all that thrilled about the idea. And I'm glad you did the homework, because I've been a little bit occupied myself. And at the same time, I've also been kind of trying not to think about it.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about Chris Strever. Okay, not unpromising. Unfortunately, I did not see much of him in the preseason. I understand he got a little bit of time out there. He signed in May after going undrafted in the NFL. Began his career, well, started on scholarship, I believe, with Minnesota, but didn't see any playing to Minnesota Gophers, didn't see any playing time at all in his first couple seasons, then went to North Dakota. I want to be sure I have
South
this correct.
Dakota.
South Dakota. That's right, South Dakota. Now, in 2 years, you know, he did that thing that you expect a Division II guy coming into the CFL to do, right? He wrote his name all over the record book, set a bunch of school records, played in every single game in those two seasons, started at quarterback. Last year was the runner-up for the Walter Payton Award, quote, given to the top offensive player in FCS football. Okay? This dude can play in, I think, a CFL type of game, because also we must remember this. This dude was born and raised and did his high school in Northern Illinois. He played in Minnesota. He played in South Dakota. Cold weather is not going to frighten this guy off. Okay. He'll probably thrive in Winnipeg weather, as a matter of fact. So I wouldn't be too worried. Plus, got the best guy at accumulating total yards in the game on your side as well.
Still doesn't make me feel that much better, but yeah, that's a, that's a lot more positive than I've been thinking. I thought I was a positive one on the show.
Okay, here, let me throw a little bit more at you, because again, the story is not that bad. The CFL is a long season. If Mr. Nichols misses the first six games, here they are. Versus Edmonton, at Montreal, at Hamilton, versus BC, at BC, and at Toronto. 3-3 is not impossible in this stretch, all right? At BC, at Hamilton looks like a loser. Versus Edmonton, probably a loser in opening week, okay? But seriously, 3-3 is not imaginable, you know, with your replacement quarterback. Do you think?
I'd feel a heck of a lot better if he had a little more experience. I like what you're saying. But this is a league where you see guys come straight from college and hop into the CFL very often. You see it all the time down south. But you don't see it in CFL. The last one was for the Las Vegas Posse, of all things. Anthony Calvillo. And that took him like 5 years to become what he became. So, five, six games, I'm not so sure is going to be enough time for us to see what a Bomber fan hopes beyond hope to see.
Well, okay, look, though, but my point is I don't believe necessarily that you need, you don't need a stud right now at this spot. You know, it takes a while for the season to get going. You know, other teams are not going to be, you know, necessarily fine-tuned machines yet. I mean, the Rough Riders are going to look brutal, I think, in the opening month. I mean, their offensive line looks terrible right now. I don't think they're going to get it together for a while. Stuff like that. So, you know, I mean, the Bombers could catch some of these teams, you know, off their guard. And look, Montreal is going to be a win. It doesn't matter. I don't think it matters who you have at quarterback against this Montreal team in the first two-thirds of the season. I don't think it's going to matter. So, in any case, I don't want to belabor the point, but okay, all right, I got your feeling on that. At least you're not, like, ready to slit your wrists or anything like that anymore.
Yeah, I'm not feeling that hot about it either. How about that?
Well, okay. Okay, I hear you. I hear you. I mean, I wouldn't be super confident right now, but I don't think the season's over either. It's a long season. It's a long season. We can hope he'll be back. Right. Okay, so this week, one transaction went down, and I thought this was pretty interesting because the Toronto Argonauts front office proved very wily last season in picking up guys that had been, you know, left for dead, taken for granted and whatnot. And here they are again, getting defensive back Abdul Khanna from Hamilton for nothing, eighth round draft pick. Now, this is a guy who, you know, last year twice went down with injury, didn't play much of the season, you know, came in a little bit at the end, had like one or two decent games, but played on both of those Ottawa Grey Cup teams. Now, again, defense was not necessarily the hallmark of those Grey Mark teams, but Canada did make one All-CFL team in those years. What's the thinking here? I guess Hamilton just has so much in the secondary that they don't need another guy. Do you think that kind of can make a difference this season?
I don't get this move at all from Hamilton's perspective. I mean, I know Kane has been dealing with injuries, but like you said, he was on D block for a couple of seasons and he was the standout. So I can't believe he's lost that in a season and a half. And to give them to your biggest rivals for what amounts to nothing, an 8th round pick is basically a lottery ticket. So, I mean, all draft picks are lottery tickets, but an 8th round pick is a real lottery ticket. I don't, unless they're really strapped for cash and they had overpaid him to begin with, which could be a possibility, but still, why hand him to your rivals at that point?
Yeah, I'm shocked that they didn't. I mean, could they really not get more? I mean, did they just not care? I mean,
well, they picked a terrible time to do with those because everybody has made their final decisions. So they're going to move on from him, and they hadn't made that decision until, you know, if they had even thought that this could be a possibility even a month ago, that would have been the time to do it because you still got a lot of people in camps left and right, but you can still get more for that asset than, hey, look, by the way, half of the players that have been in training camp for the league now are, well, not quite half, but almost, when you have to take away practice roster and injury slots, but there's a ton of talent out there right now that has just been cut loose. This is not the time to be hitting the market as a, looking to get rid of a player.
Yeah, imagine. I mean, if the Hamilton front office understood the draft, they could have traded him like two or three days before the draft for third rounder, second rounder. I mean, no, instead they make these obscure moves to move up in the first round and draft a bizarre pick. Anyway, speaking of a lot of talent floating around out there, let's talk cut down days briefly. I know that a lot of podcasts, a lot of news sites, the CFL official website, CFL.ca, have covered this in detail, but I haven't gotten in my 2 Canadian cents yet, so I'd like to. Let's see. You know, of course, I'm not going to go through 106 cuts or whatever, but let me ask you this one, Joe. On my short list, I've got Anthony Parker released by the Stampeders. I've got Faith
Ikakiti.
Released by your Blue... Ikakiti, okay. Damn, I should have gone with my first guess. I second-guessed myself. Released by your Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And Bakari Grant, Chad Owens, and Rob Bagg, all released by the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Not too surprising. All three of them surprising. Which of these moves, like, surprises you the most, and how many of these guys find a new team?
I think I'm most surprised by Bakari Grant. Owens, you could make the case that he can't stay healthy in Saskatchewan, which is the case. Rob Bagg is getting a little long in the tooth, and really hasn't been all that productive in recent years, so you can understand that. But Bakari Grant had a big year last year, and, well,
the team in receiving
yards. There's a lot of talent on that receiving core, true. And it could be more of a dollar move than anything else, but you couldn't have gotten anything for him? I mean, I know CFL All-Stars from a couple years ago are getting 8th-round picks, but they couldn't even get an 8th-rounder from Mecari Grant.
Yeah, how about it?
Yeah.
How about it? Why didn't they just make that trade?
Well, probably.
You know, just trade. Just.
There seems to be a lot of receiver talent all across the league, so
yeah.
I can understand why a team may not want to give up an asset there, but it just seems a little bit weird that a guy that had as good of a season as he did last year, and has shown he could play in multiple different places around the CFL, got on this list. It had to have been a numbers game. I know that they have a lot of talent receiver out there, but that one sticks out to me as, whoa, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
I guess the follow-up question to that is, like, how many yards do you imagine Daron Carter and Namon Roosevelt are going to get next season?
Roosevelt's going to get a lot. Carter, who knows if he's going to play receiver or defensive back any given week.
Well, one would think that with the shuffling that, you know, Coach Jones does over there, that he'll at least have enough defensive backs to get through the season this season. I mean, Daron Carter at defensive back, he was awesome doing that, but I don't know. I'd rather see him at receiver.
Yeah, personally. But that was, I mean, even from a Bomber fan's perspective, that was kind of fun to watch last year.
No, it was great. That was great. It just showed how much football IQ he has, you know, just how much skills he has. I mean, you're not surprised, right? He's got the pedigree. But, you know, classic guy who can't make the NFL because he's too small, right? He has the smarts. He has the skills. He has the speed, for sure. And, you know, he even has the prima donna attitude. But, too small, can't make it.
Yeah, I think it was more of the attitude when he had his shots that was, was the reason.
Well, that was the straw, right? Yeah. Okay, let's see. What else do we have? I think that's it for news. Do you have anything else, Joe?
Not besides the fact that we're going to be kicking off soon, and I can't wait.
Yep, we're going to talk about that in just a moment, but first, we'll do a brief musical interlude, and we will be speaking with Kevin O'Neill of CFL Fans in Toronto. 15 seconds or so, we'll be back. Joining the Rouge, White, and Blue now is Mr. Kevin O'Neill. He's of CFL Fans in Toronto. Kevin, how are you doing today?
Hi, pretty good, thanks. Great to be on the show. Thanks a lot for having me.
It's interesting that you're coming from CFL Fans in Toronto because, of course, for those who follow the league, we know that recently there's been a lot of issues with fandom in Toronto and, you know, the stadium situation in Toronto, the scheduling in Toronto, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the first thing I would like to know is, Kevin, how are you going to solve everything? No, that's not the first thing I would like to know. I would like to know is, tell us a little bit about CFL Fans in Toronto. What's your mission statement? Tell us what you do there.
Sure, happy to. Thanks. So CFL Fans in Toronto is the fan group. It's a grassroots group that brings together Toronto-based CFL fans of all stripes to catch games and to celebrate our league. We bring together fans from all teams. Doesn't matter if you're a fan of the Argos, the Ticats, BC Lions, whatever team you're into. You know, Toronto is a big city, and we've got people living in Toronto from across the country. And over the years living in this city, I'm from Hamilton myself, a big Ticats fan. I found over the years that there was really not a place to go in terms of like a bar or a pub or a home base where I could go to catch a CFL game when my Ticats were playing away. And I could go there and find other CFL fans tuned into the game. So it seemed like there's a real gap there. That was kind of the original motivator, was there wasn't really a place to go. So I started thinking about it for a few years, and started talking to another friend who is an Argos fan living here, and he was thinking the same thing, and had started trying to bring Argos fans specifically together to watch away games with varying success. And so we decided to join forces, believe it or not, and see what we could do to start something up.
Huh. Okay, that's really intriguing. Okay, so let me ask you this real quick, because I know Joe wants to get in here, but let me ask you really quick. Are fans representing all teams within CFL fans in Toronto?
I wouldn't say we've had fans out from all teams, but quite a few of them. It kind of depends often depends who's playing, like which game we're getting together for.
Uh-huh.
But there've been quite a few Riders fans.
I'm shocked.
Imagine that.
Yeah. There's actually a group called Riders fans in Toronto who we've joined forces with on several occasions. And so they come out. And then we get the odd, couple fans from other teams, be it BC, Winnipeg. We've had a couple Montreal fans. So it's a real mix.
Good. And so you've started to have a little bit more success with your events then. What do you guys do? Do you guys just randomly pick a place to go, or do you kind of have a home base now?
Well, we wanted to be consistent and we wanted to find a bar or a pub where we could, where it's the same place and you could go every week and you know they'll have the game on. And most importantly, you know they'll have the sound on. When you go to a sports bar and there's a bunch of other games on, it can be a real struggle to get. You might get a TV on with a game, but sometimes the sound, you don't win out with getting the sound on. So this is our third year going into it. In the first 2 years, we were at a place up near Varsity Stadium called Brouhaha at the Duke of York Pub, and they were a great home. But this year we're moving a little closer to the action, down closer to BMO Field in Liberty Village there, a place called Three Brewers, or 12 Brass. Sure. And they've embraced us. They've committed to hosting us for about 10 events throughout the year.
Nice.
And yeah, so we're really, really very pumped good. To be getting closer to the action.
Very good. Very good.
Good. And how many people are starting to attend these events? Is it rather consistent, or does it fluctuate wildly yet?
The first season we did it, there was we committed to doing a game every single week. And because we're totally grassroots, we all have full-time jobs, and this is just for the love of the league. We put in as much time as we can to promoting on social media, but it took a while to get it going, that's for sure. So the first year, some games we had, I think we maxed out at like 30 people or something. But a few times it was just me and my two friends, Tim and Tibor, who were sitting there. It was a little sad sometimes on like a Thursday night when it's like 30 degrees Celsius out. outside, and we're sitting in this basement bar,
Wow.
Sweating away.
Why? Watching okay. The game. Okay. Look, I got to ask you. Why does the CFL not play so well in Toronto? Here you've got a combination of, being a transplant city, right? Because like you said, Toronto is a huge city and folks come from all over Canada, relocate there for jobs or whatnot, college, whatnot, right? So you've got all those people coming from other parts of the country. Plus you've got the home market, which also has a team. So why is the CFL such a hard sell in Toronto?
Yeah, that's the age-old question. I think there's been so many factors involved in the over the years, whether it's some poor management decisions over the years, lots of competition for people's attention in the city, and I don't know. It blows my mind coming from Hamilton and. Growing up watching CFL, I struggled to wrap my head around it. I think everything that the Argos have done in the past few years is, there have been so many positive developments. And to me, it just seems like, all right, things are going to take flight now. But then it doesn't, But hopefully, I'm always hopeful that it's going to pick up, but I don't know if I have the answers.
I'm sure if you I'm sure if you do figure it out, give the Argos a call, and I'm sure they'll be happy to get you on the payroll.
Yeah, look at your job. Discover the Discover the formula. You'll get a job there. All right. Well, okay. Well, we don't want to get into metaphysics, which is what it might take to solve the question of CFL fandom in Toronto. But all right. So let's talk some season. Your team is
the Ticats.
Okay. I've got. I'll just let this fly right now because I don't think I've ever actually officially launched my prediction on this show yet. I honestly believe that the Tiger Cats are going to go about 15-3 this season. What are your expectations?
I like what you're saying for sure. I think I'm feeling good going into this season. Things really clicked.
I bet.
In the second half of last season. We made positive changes over in the off season. We're going to get Tolliver back. I'm specifically going to Tolliver instead of, some other name. but I think things are shaping up. There's been huge changes in a lot of the coaching staff turned over, you know, with June Jones shaping his, team. I think they could definitely. I'm not sure yet if I'm really ready to say the Ticats are going to win the Grey Cup, but I think they're going to be a contender.
Yeah. I mean, to me, if you pay attention to the NFL, there's always that one team that closes out the year and they end up like 5-1, 6-0. Maybe they've ruined somebody's chances to make the playoffs. They don't make the playoffs or they lose in the first round, whatever. But that's the team you got to watch for next year. That's the team on the up. And in the second half of last year, the Tiger Cats looked as dominant as they did, you know, back in the day, you know, two seasons ago. That seems like forever ago. You know, this is a team that I believe still has momentum from last year.
Yeah.
You know, so, and plus, I think they're going to beat up on the East. But
yeah,
you know, that's just my feeling on the thing.
I hope you're right. It's we've had high hopes so many times, and then we've burned so many times. And I think Hamilton fans are sometimes leery to get too optimistic. Mm-hmm. Sad but true. But I bite my tongue, but I don't know. I'm going in feeling pretty good about the Ticats season. We shall see.
So, all right. It is now time. This is the Rouge, White, and Blue, the CFL podcast produced by Americans. So I got to ask, what's your take on your new player, Johnny Canadian Football?
I'm very excited to see him here. I think.
Wow. All right. Good.
Yeah, I'm good. Totally cool with it. I'm cool with it. I think it's, you know, I was a little worried. Just to see, you know, as we're taking shape when he first, it was like, oh my god, what's going to happen now? It's a real roll of the dice in terms of like something, I don't know, something like this could easily just throw the whole team off balance. Still can, but I think just the way everything I've seen so far, I don't know, he's been saying all the right things. Seems like his head's in the right place, and he's really respecting the decisions that are being made by the coaching staff. You know, it seems. As long as the balance for the rest of the team isn't being thrown off too much, it'll be really interesting to see. I hope Mazzoli comes out guns blazing. I'm not sure when we'll see Manziel play, but I look forward to seeing him out there. I think it's going to be exciting. And if he, you know, hopefully it's a big, like a successful comeback story. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out.
I could see June Jones putting together a package for him for short yardage. Maybe not specifically 3rd-and-1, but even your 2nd-and-2s, 2nd-and-3s, where you have to worry about more than just a plunge into the line. I think that's where Manziel could be dangerous.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be a really cool thing to see.
Well, what did he do best in the preseason? Okay, again, it's preseason, but what did he do best? He was best when he was rolling out. When he was throwing on the run, that's when he was the best. That's when he was the best. So if there is part of the playbook where it's that situation, that was what he did best in the offseason. You're not going to have him plunging at the one. You know, I don't think he's Brandon Bridge. So he's not going to be running that play. To me, that's what I was impressed with. I mean, he still moves like a football player even after, you know, not playing serious ball for years. So it'll be interesting because I can't believe that with the way the CFL is and the way that the second string quarterback gets quality time during the season for most teams, I can't believe we won't see him at all.
Yeah, I really hope I would love to see what you described, putting together a package that that he can come in on, you know, and everyone's dying to see him play.
Sure.
I can't imagine they're just going to keep him off the field. We'll see.
Okay. Let me just throw this one out here. We've been talking predictions, at least informally, between us on the Roost White and Blue. Would you like to make any predictions for the upcoming season? Would you like to go on record? Anything at all? MVP, MOP, division winners? Will there be a crossover team?
Let's see. I think we'll have a... This is going to be a out of the blue one that I don't think anyone else will guess, but this way, if I'm right, then I'll be the only one. I'm going to put Terrence Tolliver, MOP. He's back.
Wow. Nice. All right. I like that. That's gutsy. That's a gutsy call.
Why not?
Did you have the Knights in the Stanley Cup? Did you pick them at the beginning of the season? Were you one of those guys?
Yeah, you could have picked me there. It wouldn't have been too often.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah, and I hope the Argos bring in bigger crowds. You know, I hope we're doing our best to drum up some spirit and, you know, create some interest as much as we can do. And all I want to do is I want to see a successful team in Toronto. I think it's important for the rest of the league, and it's what I love to watch. So.
Yep, and it would make Labor Day a heck of a lot more fun too, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, Kevin, well, we'll get you out of here right now. I don't know, how can people see what you do? How can they find you? Do you have Twitter, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Plug us. Plug yourself.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. You can find us on social media. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, and we're on meetup.com at CFL Fans in Toronto. If you just type in CFL Fans in Toronto, it will come up. And you can find it about all of our events. We got our first CFL Fans in Toronto 2018 season launch this coming Friday for the Argos versus Riders game at West. So that's a 9 p.m. kickoff here in Toronto. And we got our first event at the Three Brewers Liberty Village spot. And we're going to have a section of crowd. We're going to do all sorts of sort of raffles, giveaways, guess the score. We're going to be doing a 50-50 this year for every event, where the proceeds will go to CFL Fans Fight Cancer. And sometimes we do CFL trivia at the half. So we try to sort of make it do some value-added things and you know, do giveaways. We try to get some swag from the teams, which is successful to varying degrees sometimes. But we drum up some stuff to make it a fun time and try to create that sort of Grey Cup atmosphere on a weekly basis.
Actually, Kevin O'Neill of CFL Fans in Toronto, I was just about to let you go, but I remembered we have at least two more questions for you. At least we have one, and I have one personally. Joe, do you want to hit him with our favorite question?
Sure. So one of the traditional questions that we've kind of forgotten about in recently, but we're trying to get back in here, is we always ask who our guests' three favorite professional sports teams are. I'm going to assume the Ticats are one of them, but who are the other two?
Oh, definitely the Ticats would be my top team. I'm also actually really, so I live in here in Toronto, of course, it prevents me from really cheering on the Argos in any meaningful way, but I'm really into the Raps. I got pretty into the Raps this year.
Yeah.
Toronto Raptors. They're really fun to watch. I'm not like an obsessive fan, but I do love to tune in when I can. And then I'd have to go with Hamilton Bulldogs.
Yes, the new version, the OHL team now.
That's right.
Wow. Good on you. Interesting. Wow. See, we often get interesting answers to that. Very good. All right. But I wanted to ask you this. I have a special interest in this. So you talk a lot about how CFL fans in Toronto meets at bars or is set at bars. I'd like to know this. Give me a good beer from Toronto or environs. Do you know, can you give me a good microbrew?
Yeah, there's tons. There's a lot going on in that scene here in Toronto.
Nice.
Yeah, there must be, I don't know, there's dozens and dozens of microbrews that pop up every day. The best one, one of the biggest ones that's going right now is Bellwoods Brewing.
Okay.
And Bellwoods, yeah, they're doing all sorts of, I guess their most famous one is a Whip Shake.
Okay. All right. Got
it's, you ever had that one?
No, I'm just taking it down. I've got my notepad open. I'm taking this down. I won't say that I'm an alcoholic. Let's just call me a beer aficionado. I do love my beers. So
awesome. Yeah, same here. If you check out Bellwoods Brewery,
yeah.
And Woodshark, I think it's a double IPA, and they make all sorts of different variations of it and stuff. But it's one of the ones that I think standing out a lot among a group of really good breweries going on here. Reinhard Brewing is really good.
Okay. Right. Great.
Yeah,
fantastic. Fantastic. All right. We thank you very much, Kevin O'Neill, CFL fan, great. Hamilton Tiger Cats fan, beer fan of CFL fans in Toronto. Let's get together later in the season, between events, perhaps. During the bye week, perhaps we can have you back on the show. Thank you very much for joining us today, Kevin. Enjoy opening week.
Great. Thanks so much.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay. Nice of Kevin to speak with us, and I wish him all the luck with his organization. You know, one of the nice things about having such a club in Toronto is there's a lot of places you can go. Toronto, as I understand it, is a killer place for bars, nightclubs, whatnot. And as Kevin confirmed, they got a lot of breweries out there as well.
Yeah, it was we went to a lot of places just in the couple of days I was there for a Grey Cup a few years ago. I can't imagine how many places I didn't get to.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I'm sure it's one of those cities where it's like, yeah, you spend a week there, you see nothing. You see nothing, you know. All right, in any case. Okay, let's talk. I am excited to get back to the game-to-game stuff. You know, I mean, I won't say that I'm addicted to gambling or anything, but I enjoy the prospect of someday in California, someday soon, being able to go, you know, about 20 miles down the road and be able to make bets on Canadian football. Oh, I'm so excited. In any case, let's talk season predictions first, because we still have never done this on the Rouge, White, and Blue. And I'm sorry that Dr. Rouge is here, because we can kind of just cut to the chase here. About a month ago, the last time I was on the show, we discussed it, and he had Winnipeg winning one side of the bracket and Hamilton on the other side, I believe. Did he not?
That seems correct to me. I do have his predictions pulled up now.
I came prepared. I do not have access to them. Okay. Well, I already spilled the beans in the previous spot with Kevin. So I'm going to just go ahead and go first. Yes, I honestly am sticking with Hamilton at 15-3. That may be a bit of a hyperbole, because part of this depends on the fact that I am really expecting Montreal to be, yeah. I mean, seriously, 3-15, 4-14 at best. I honestly believe Montreal is going to start the season at about 0-9, 0-10. It's going to take this team a long time to resemble football players, I think, under this coach who doesn't seem to be taking the job very seriously. When your coach is admitting the week before the season starts that he is a work in progress as a CFL coach, wow. That tells me get ready to go 0-8. You know, so some of my prediction regarding Hamilton depends on that. But I just like what I'm getting from last season's bounce in Hamilton. My real thing, and I've been obsessed with this for the past couple of weeks, is who comes second? Who comes second? Because I'm looking for Ottawa or Toronto to go about 500 this season. I think I'm going to give the edge to Toronto strictly because they have the better backup quarterback. No joke. That's going to be my rationale. Because I think it's going to come down to about a game, maybe even a tie in the standings, given that Ottawa's involved. And so I'm going to go Toronto 2, Ottawa 3, but we're going to have a crossover. Now, since I never officially was nailed down to my pick on this show, I can change it. Because before the injury to Nichols, I would have had Winnipeg in that number one spot. But I think I'm going to be boring. I'm going to go with the old standby. I'm going to go with Calgary. And I'm going to be boring, and I'm going to say Edmonton gets the number two, and they have the potential to ride home field, you know, through that first game and into the bounce that into the Grey Cup, which they're hosting. And also the World Cup in a few years. in any case. So I'm going to put Edmonton in the two. Now, Saskatchewan and the Bombers, I think, both get off to slow starts. They don't have to play each other in the first 6 weeks, which is interesting. Things will be really interesting around the Banjo Bowl time, Labor Day time, when these two teams finally meet. That's when they'll start looking good. So, lots going to depend on those games, determining three and four. I guess I'll put Winnipeg in the three. I guess I'll be optimistic. Put Winnipeg in the three, put Saskatchewan in the four. Saskatchewan crosses over, but I gotta believe that Hamilton's still in the cup. And, okay. I was thinking about this today. I'm going with Hamilton, Calgary in the cup. Now, can Calgary possibly lose in the Grey Cup again to the East, possibly going in as the favorite? Can they, Joe? Can they?
Well, they could. We've seen it happen.
Again, the three-peat? The three-peat? Are they truly the Buffalo Bills? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say this is it. Calgary finally beats it. They beat that, whatever that. They get the monkey off their back, the albatross, whatever animal metaphor you want to use. Calgary over Hamilton in the Grey Cup. That's in Edmonton, so relatively medium scoring game. Maybe, you know, be boring again, say 27-20.
Okay. My big question on those predictions, besides a few that I'm going to bring up later, who is Montreal's head coach when they win their first game?
Oh my God. It'll be Sherman because nobody wants that job. I think you are dead on. I have been repeating this to myself ever since you brought it up. I don't even know if that was in that show that we erased or whatever. But I believe in the Kent Austin master plan. I believe that next season is going to be Kent Austin. I hope they don't go 0-18 this season, Joe. I hope not. So I'm not going to answer Kent Austin, but Mike Sherman's going to be the coach when they win their first game. Because nobody else wants this job. They won't fire him.
Okay. Well, let me go over Dr. Rouge's picks real quick here just so we can have them side by side with yours here for a moment. He's got Edmonton and Calgary 1-2, Winnipeg at 3, Saskatchewan at 4, and BC at 5. So basically like yours except with a top flipped.
But I know he likes Edmonton a lot. I would not have put them very high if Saskatchewan had looked better in the preseason and if Winnipeg hadn't taken this injury. I don't think I would have had Edmonton that high at all, to be honest.
Okay. Well, then he matches you in the East. Exactly. Hamilton, Toronto, Ottawa, and Montreal. I don't think he has records on here, and I don't think he's going to go be quite as high in Hamilton as you are. 15-3 seems like a stretch, but that's what he's got. And then he's got Edmonton taking the Grey Cup over Hamilton, 28-24. So you guys are
in Edmonton.
So you guys are on the same page for the most part. You just have the West a little bit different.
And yeah, And we talked about our MVP choices before. I am gonna MOP, sorry, in Canada. I'm gonna actually change my pick on that. Because we discussed this before, I think both of you guys are probably okay with sticking with Mike Riley.
Are you? I can't see why not.
Okay. I'm gonna switch my pick. I'm gonna switch my pick to Andrew Harris.
Because you think he's gonna carry the Bombers for the first 6 weeks.
He's gonna have to. Yep. And I believe that, again, I think that's a fairly favorable schedule, favorable enough. I think he's gonna do enough to torch those teams early, and then just, if he can stay up for 16, 17 of those 18 games, I think he's the MOP. I'm going out on a limb there. I'd like to see the odds on that, actually. Speaking of gambling, I'd like to see the odds on him, because I bet you can get pretty good odds on that. I don't know them. Maybe I'll find them by the end of this segment. In any case, what do you like, Joe?
I feel like we would have a very interesting discussion, even more interesting with Dr. Rougeron, because I'm differing from you guys a lot.
Okay. Well, back it up.
So let's start out east. I've got Toronto at 12-6.
Wow.
They came from 4-7 last year and finished 9-9. They put in James Wilder about mid-season to have him be the starter. I want to see what he can do with a full season. You have Ricky Ray there still. You have James Franklin backing him up. And if that's not enough, apparently they're very high on McLeod Bethel-Thompson, too. So they seem to be very comfortable at quarterback, which not a lot of teams in this league are at the moment. Not that I'm obsessed about that or anything lately. But then you also still have the receivers that they had. You lose a little bit of talent on defense losing Victor Butler. But I feel like this team is a team that got hot last year at the end, more so than Hamilton even. So I have them riding all the way to the Cup this year again. Now, I'll tell you who is going to win the Cup later, but I have Toronto making it. I do have Hamilton at 9-9. I feel like June Jones brings something to the table. But I still worry about their quarterback carousel potential. Because if they start a little bit rough, and their beginning schedule is rough, but it got a little bit easier with Winnipeg having their issues. But their schedule still looks pretty decently rough, depending on whether Saskatchewan has their stuff in order by then. But if they start off with a rough start, they could plummet, I think. But if they could get through that at a decent rate, I think they're okay. But I just feel like there's going to be a ton of pressure to play Manziel, even if the situation doesn't call for it. So I'm going to trust June Jones enough that they make it to 500, they make the playoffs, and they make a decent showing, but I just don't see what you're seeing as far as them being that good.
I think that, okay, look, we've seen the Hamilton machine before, right? We saw it a couple of years ago before, you know, they lost their quarterback. We saw it at the end of last season. I believe that Jones, while he doesn't always make the best personnel decisions, is an excellent coach. I truly have faith in him. And the only weakness that I saw either on paper or in the preseason at all was that the offensive line, you know, couldn't hold the line forever. Okay. Now you're talking about tough schedule. Tiger Cats at Calgary, Tiger Cats at Edmonton.
That sounds like 0-2 okay. to me, I'll be honest.
Right. That's a heck of a start, and that's going to put a real crimp in my 15-3. But we'll talk about those week one games. And spoilers, I'm taking Hamilton at Calgary this week. So you know, I think, you know, again, it's a question of faith, right? It's a question of faith. I believe that they can reproduce what they did in the last half of last season. I believe that they can do that. And I believe that Manziel is a much better backup than they had last year, which was a big question mark.
Well, so. Mazzoli was the backup last year. And even when Mazzoli was a starter, you still had Calero. So I don't know if I believe that so much. And you talking about how hot they got at the end of last year. Jones went 6-4 with them. Now, that's 6-4 with a team that had finished 0-8, but that was a team in complete disarray, too, at that point. So we did get it together, got them to 6-4, but if they match that, that's still like 12-6, 11-7. I still don't see your 15-3 optimism.
Okay. Well, I mean, again, I'm also, but take a look at what you've done with the rest of the division, right? You've given the rest of the division a much better shake than I have. What do you got Ottawa?
I've got Ottawa at 8-10 because that seems to be where they belong.
Okay, right.
If I picked a tie, I would have picked them to go 8-9-1 because that's just what they do. And yes. Here's one that's going to blow your mind. I've got Montreal at 5-13.
Wow. Okay. You're the optimist. Right.
I'm the optimist, you say.
The West?
I have Edmonton at 13-5. I felt a little bit better when they had better running back depth, but they did get rid of a lot of that. John White, of course, is now in Hamilton, and who knows, he may even be playing pretty soon here with Alex Green on the shelf. But I still like Edmonton. They went through so much last year and still finished 12-6. I think, and they got very, very close to knocking off Calgary in Calgary in the playoffs. I think it's their turn on the top of the mountain. I don't have Calgary falling that far. I've got them at 12-6. Here's one that I don't think anybody's going to agree with me on, but I have BC at 9-9. I think that...
Wow!
It is going to be a transitional year from them. You're going to have some players that Wally brought in. Ed Hervey's bringing in his own players, and that might not be the greatest mix. But if they could figure out their offensive line issues, and they could keep Jonathan Jennings standing up and not running for his life all the time, we might see a little bit of a flash of what we saw in 2016. Now, I don't think they'd go 12-6 again. I don't think they're that kind of team anymore. But Jennings is too good to completely discount in my mind.
Okay. If I blow this up completely right now, I'm going to have very little to say about the BC Montreal game. So I'll wait till then.
So I've got here's a couple of stunners here. I've got Saskatchewan at 7-11. Wow. No crossover. Because I don't have faith in Zach Collaros all that much right now to be the starter. And we're going to get a big dose of Brandon Bridge. I know that. But from everything that I'm hearing and seeing with the Riders this preseason, I don't know if they could keep Doug Flutie in his prime upright. And that's a guy that could get away from anything. So until they fix that offensive line, you can have as many talented receivers as you want. You can have as much talent on the rush ends as you want. You're not going to score a heck of a lot of points, though, if your quarterback's laying on the turf.
Joe, that was the thing I was thinking, is that when I was watching the Riders in the preseason and I was watching the Ticats in the preseason, I'm like, the Riders should have Manziel. That would be perfect for them right now because their offensive line is crummy. They need a guy who can always be on the move. And they're like, you know, they're looking at like Brandon Bridge. Come on, man. I mean, that's the, you know.
That might actually be the answer, Saskatchewan, is to give Bridge more of a shot. But when you bring in Collaros for that price, Collaros is going to get the first crack at it. So,
of course, but I mean, this was the problem with Hamilton, right? You were just saying, oh yeah, you know, they had Zach Collaros at number one, but that was the thing, is that he was so friggin' inconsistent last season. You know, he on some days he was on some quarters he was finding the open man, you know, 11 in a row, whatever, and then two picks, you know, on his next thing. And every single game we're waiting for that mega Zach Collaros of, you know, 2015 or whatever it was, you know, we're waiting for that to return, you know, the superhero. But all we got was Clark Kent, you know. I mean, he wasn't, because he was, you know, taking too much time. Now he's going to be taking too much time on every play. I mean, he's not going to have enough time to do anything. It's terrible. Oh, I can't believe it. I was liking them so much before the preseason.
Yeah, I don't think we're ever seeing 2015 Zach Collaros again.
Oh, and by the way, I would just like a message to Riders fans from a Rams fan, Trey Mason. Have fun, guys. Have fun with that one. You know, he'll drive you nuts.
Okay. And here's the answer to all those questions you were asking me earlier.
Oh,
I've got the Bombers at 6-12 because I have a lot of worries that Nichols is going to be out even longer than 4-6. And if he is, that's that, as far as I'm concerned. And if they get off to a start that's worse than 2-4 even,
yes,
you can have a good team, but to dig out of that much of a hole, to have a rough start like I think they're going to, and then even with the talent they have, because I believed in this team until they lost their quarterback. But if you're going to go 6 games, even 2-4, 1-5, worst case scenario, 1-6, obviously, that's a lot to dig out of, and that you're going to be coming from, you're going to have a mood in the locker room that's not going to be conducive to making a surge in the second half if that kind of start happens.
If you start 2-4, if the Bombers start 2-4, that's it, you're done. Here's why, because you'll lose both games to the Riders. You will. You will. Then you're 2-6. Because the Riders will be better than the Bombers at week 6. Again, I'm putting faith that this team can find order by Labor Day. The Riders, I'm talking about. Because these guys have so much talent everywhere else except on that line. And the thing is, the talent should be there on that line. On paper, it's a great line. I know. We don't play the games on paper. I know. But, you know, maybe it's a mental issue. Maybe it's a psychological issue. Because, I mean, it could be there. And all they need is, like, average. Average line, I think, because they have enough talent. But anyway, okay, so what do you got in the playoffs? Edmonton?
Yeah, I got Edmonton and Toronto. I've got, and I was describing this a couple weeks ago to our buddy at Podsky Wee Wee, Josh Smith, when he guested on the show. It's going to be one of those perfect scenes. It's going to be Edmonton, Toronto, kind of a rehash of 1996, just the opposite. You're going to have a little bit of snow. You're going to have a lot of points, and it's going to be a heck of a lot of fun.
Wow. Okay. Well, apparently, your Toronto prediction is not as wacky as might appear. I'm going to do my little, public service message or whatever you want to call this, my rejoinder. Okay. I often talk about lines on this show. In fact, we're going to be talking point spreads in just a minute. I often talk about odds and stuff like this. I am not, promoting gambling. Okay. The only reason why I use these lines is because, as I always say, the bookmakers in Las Vegas, the sportsbook in Las Vegas and internationally, these are guys who lose money, okay? If Bo Levy Mitchell loses the Grey Cup, he gets the same amount of salary as he does if he doesn't. If he doesn't make the playoffs, he gets the same salary. Only the bookies stand to lose millions, okay? So I think they tend to know what they're talking about. That's why I use them on this show. Gambling is not necessarily good. If you do gamble, please gamble responsibly. Now, on to the odds for to win the Grey Cup. Here they are. Stampeders, 11-4. Okay. 3-1, basically. Toronto Argonauts and Hamilton Tiger Cats are your second favorites at 11-2. Edmonton Eskimos, 6-1. Blue Bombers, still 13-2. However, this line has gone down since Nichols' injury announcement. Rough Riders 7-1, Red Blacks 8-1, Lions 8-1, and Alouettes at 20-1. And this is only because the particular sports book I'm looking at doesn't really offer 100-1s, because at other sports book the Alouettes are 100-1.
Ooh, you should hop on that one.
No. That's what it's for. That's what it's for. It's for people to go, oh yeah, I'll throw $10 at that.
Come on, put a buck on it. Put your 2 Canadian cents on it. It'd be fun.
If I could bet 2 cents, I would. But no way. So I could win 40, right? I bet 5 so I could win a buck. But no way, you're just throwing money away. Seriously, that's not gonna happen. You know, I'll make the Brazilian tie promise. If the Montreal Alouettes win the Grey Cup, I will shave all the hair off my body. How about that? It's not going to happen. It's not.
Hang on. Just give me a second. I'm just making sure my recorder is still working.
Sure.
Okay. It looks like it's working. We should be okay.
Mine says it is as well. Okay. So we've even got backup. Okay. let's go on to this week's games, because I love picking the games. I love picking the games. I have missed this so much. I should note, since this is, you know, a show done by Americans, and we love our American audience very much, I'd like to make this note. Please note, American viewers, there are some games, CFL games, on ESPN2, including the first weeks of games and the first game of week two. However, you will have to buy ESPN Plus. I am sorry, they are not doing it on ESPN3, which is a free service given to you if you have ESPN on cable. Apparently, this is their answer to cable cutting. Okay, you want to cut your cable? We'll make you pay for it online. It's not bad. It's only $4.99 a month. Why not $5? Who knows? $4.99 American, presumably. So Canadians, no, Canadians don't have to do this. You have TSN. Let's see. Quite a few games this season are on ESPN2, but most of the season will not be. I do believe that ESPN Plus is allows you to replay it afterwards, like ESPN3 does.
Yeah, I think it lasts a couple of days afterwards, depending on how much else is on. I did go back and replay the first Hamilton preseason game because I wasn't able to watch it live, but I did miss one and I waited too long and could not get it. But then thankfully they added an extra game, so I still got 4 preseason games to watch, so it worked out okay.
Oh, so you're already on ESPN.
I said shut up and take my money the moment that, like, the day before the preseason started. I signed up, made sure it all worked, watched a lot of college baseball for a few weeks because, you know, it's kind of fun. But I just made sure it worked, and then after that, we're good to go.
You know what's awesome? I don't know how insanely jealous your wife is, but Women's College Softball World Series is awesome. It's awesome. It's like baseball, but fast. You know, it's great. Those girls do not mess around. Every year I love watching this, and I always try to tell as many people as possible, but I don't turn anybody on to it. It's great, though. It's great. I really like that. Right. Okay. Let's talk this week's slate of games. Opening day, unfortunately. Thought it might be a good game. It might otherwise have been a lot more exciting looking had not that nasty quarterback situation in Winnipeg been developed. It is Edmonton Eskimos +7 at Winnipeg Blue Bombers. I'm going to cut right to the chase. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised with your new quarterback, Joe. I think he's gonna do really well in this game, but I do think that Edmonton is gonna win handily. I'm gonna guess that they come out ready. They usually get off to a good start. So I'm gonna take Edmonton -7. I'm sorry, that should have been -7.
Yep. The doctor and I agree with you. Give the points, take Edmonton.
Yep. All right, let's go on to the next one. I like this game. This is going to be fun. Toronto is a 2-point favorite at Saskatchewan. Now, you know, again, I think 2-3 weeks ago, I definitely would have taken the +2 and gone with Saskatchewan at home, in that majestic new home of theirs. But I just don't think the line is ready. I don't like some of these last minute decisions. I don't like this shearing off of wide receivers. I mean, again, you know, Jones is the revolving door there in Saskatchewan, so I wasn't surprised to see some name players go, but I'm just shocked that they're losing 3 name wide receivers at once. I think that Toronto is especially good against that offensive line, including Mr. Sean Lemon, who could be your defensive player of the year this year overall. And this is just a wrong time for Saskatchewan to be beating Toronto. I say give 2 points and take Toronto.
I do have the doctor's picks up. He thinks that's too tall of an order for Toronto. He thinks that week one in the insane asylum that is the new Mosaic is too tall of an order. I would agree with you, though. I think if there's a team that fits as an opponent to the Riders, it'd be Toronto. Because Toronto, or Saskatchewan does have that defensive line that could very well be a dominant defensive line. But you're facing Ricky Ray. He's going to get rid of the ball before Jefferson and Hughes is going to get there way more often than that's going to be a good thing for you. And I still got to see that Saskatchewan offensive line do something productive before I'm going to start picking the Riders, because, like I said, I believe they have a ton of talent. I just want to see it actually function together before I go ahead and start picking them to win games.
Okay, so the doctor goes Riders and you go...
I go Toronto.
You go Argos? Okay. All right. Okay, I'm actually going to try and keep track this season so I can talk a lot of smack. Okay, here we go. Here is my Grey Cup preview. Hamilton, 8-point underdog at Calgary. Now look, I said this prior to the show, prior in the show. Hamilton's going to win this game outright. Here's why I think so. Look at the record. I've done this the past 2 years. Calgary, this Calgary team, ever since Bo Levi Mitchell's sophomore season, notoriously gets off to a slow start. They've gone 0-1-1. They've gone 1-1-1. They've gone 2-1-0 in these years, okay? They lose these games early. And I think Hamilton is going to come out ready to play. I don't think that, again, I think this is a bad matchup just psychologically, just mentally for Calgary in week one. I think Hamilton's going to surprise here. I would definitely, definitely take them plus the 8 if I were a gambling man.
The Ducks pick is Calgary 27, Hamilton 20. So I'm thinking he's taking Hamilton, but not to win with that spread.
Right.
I, on the other hand, am taking Calgary to win. They're at home. Okay. I just feel like I need to see Hamilton come out. I have too much faith in Calgary to come out and be the same Calgary team they've always been. I feel like I need to see Hamilton prove it to me a little bit more than I need to see Calgary prove anything to me.
Really? Because I'm anxious to see what the Calgary running game looks like.
From all indications, it sounds like Terry Williams is doing all right, so... I'm gonna.
Yep. This is true. But I want to see it when it counts.
I'm gonna feel comfortable with Hupnagel's decision to move on from Messam.
Really? Already? Okay. Because see, I might, but not just yet. Not just.
What I'm gathering out of Saskatchewan right now, it just doesn't seem like Messam's gonna be the big featured guy. So that tells me that Hufnagel made the move at the right time without even having to get to the regular season.
Okay. Oh, yeah, sure. I'm a believer in, you know, that sort of Belichick mentality. You sell high, right? I buy into that, absolutely. But I want to see it when it counts again. I should have said this, too, at the end of the show, but I did want to say this. If, in fact, you're kind of sort of interested in casually gambling, One of my rules is don't ever bet week one. Okay. We're making our predictions right now and all this stuff, but we don't know. You learn more from week zero to week one than you do in any other week of the season. I think. Don't you think, Joe?
It usually takes until about week three or four for those lessons to really sink in, because you do have a lot of craziness in week one. I'll be happy to go 2-2.
Yes.
Two and two this week,
right?
And I'll be happy if any of the season predictions I make come out anywhere close, because I've been racking my brain for a month trying to figure the season out, and I still don't really have a. I don't really feel good about picking Saskatchewan and Winnipeg as low as I have them, but I don't see any other way.
I like your Ottawa Red Blacks at 8-9-1.
Yeah,
I think that's gonna.
That seems to be a lot.
In any case.
But we've got one more game here, and let's get to mocking your team.
I'm getting to it. I'm ready. All right, so Montreal in the game that only I will be watching. Montreal is 7.5-point dogs at BC because, you know, human decency prevents that line from being much higher in week one, which is a crapshoot. You know, I was looking at like millions of people. I was looking at CFL.ca this week. And, you know, of course, to some extent, they're trying to spin everybody positively because, you know, everybody starts in first place. You know, this is opening week. We can't be pessimistic just yet, right? Fair enough. Fair enough. But, okay, in this game, on one hand, you've got Mike Sherman saying, quote, we're a work in progress. Oh, my God. I still can't believe that. And for BC, you have Wally Buono's final season, quote, will be motivation for Lions. Okay, I'm just not buying either of this BS. I think Montreal is bad enough so that BC is going to cover this 7.5. I mean, come on, West Coast game, first week of the season, late game, come on. Montreal is going to get smoked, but I don't think BC is going to look pretty doing it. BC minus the points.
Yeah, the doc says 28-17 BC. I don't know how.
Where are we going to get 17 points?
Yeah, you know what's going to happen, though? I would feel, if I really wanted to feel like a gambler, I would take the points with Montreal, because do you remember what happened the last time Drew really was a full-time starter anywhere? Say in Winnipeg, like for the first 6 weeks of 2016, they would get down like 38-3 or something stupid like that. And then by the end of the game, it's 38-33. Because garbage time Drew Willey, when nobody is blitzing him, puts up a lot of yards and a lot of points. Matter of fact, I picked him as my quarterback on TSN Fantasy this week because he's very cheap.
Right. I was just going to say. There you go.
I can
Fantasy
see play. That. I can see that. I want to see if the garbage time thing will carry over. I have BC in this one comfortably until, you know, maybe the last 15 seconds when Montreal scores that touchdown and all of a sudden they're down by less than a score, but it won't go any further than that.
That is an interesting play because I think that's your safest play in a lot of ways because I don't know how much, you know, Ricky Ray is going to produce statistically. You know, he might not need to do that much to win at Saskatchewan if this defense gets to them all day. So that might be a good pick. But again, I don't see many points coming here. You know, I don't see many touchdowns.
When teams rush three against Drew Willey, he can stand in the pocket all day and make his throws. He's good at doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. He can chuck it. He can. Yeah. Okay, maybe. I might buy that, but I still think BC covers this. They can't give up that many points. Alrighty. So I take it we're playing CFL Pick'em this year, Joe? Do we have a group or anything like that, or is it just free-for-all?
I believe we do have a group from last year. I will get that retweeted on the podcast account tonight. So by the time the show is out, that link will be out.
Okay, and tell me, please, because I don't have that particular window up, what time is kickoff?
I feel like it's a 7:30 Central kickoff, so let me just verify
that's it. That's it. So 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central, 5:30 Pacific is Edmonton at Winnipeg, kicking off the CFL season. Any final thoughts regarding this season, Joe, before we sign off?
Go Bombers. Please.
Go Bombers, please. Oh, I love it. Now, Joe, we're not supposed to be partisan on this show. I'm kidding. In any case, enjoy week one, everybody. And you American fans, enjoy the first couple of months of this season because I know that you will inevitably defect in August. But tell your friends. Have them join us. Join us, please, at least for the 2 weeks of the season and the playoffs. At the end of the season. Until next week, for my co-host Joe Pritchard, for our co-host in absentia, Dr. This has been the Rouge, White, and Blue CFL podcast. We will talk to you next week. Enjoy the games. It is June.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.